Hello and welcome. You are listening to the U-Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U-Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor of the U Bible Study, and today joining me is Brenda Crosston, the Women's Ministry Leader at the Mount Gilead Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee, and she is the writer of this series of lessons. Hello, Brenda.
Hello, Mark. Thank you for having me. I feel like you forgot one detail in my introduction. Your wife.
Oh, and my wife. And my wife. Add that in.
Okay, so that's great. Hey, guys, good to be here. Today's lesson, so let me say first that the overall lessons are called The Church God Desires. The Church That God Desires. These lessons are designed to aid us on our journey in living unashamedly for Jesus Christ and living the way that he expects us to live. Today's lesson especially talks about being characterized by love, and it's going to poke at you a little bit, but these lessons best represents who God is and what he expects of his people. So I'm excited, Mark, to jump in.
Okay, so the point of our lesson today is ground everything you do in love for Christ. So characterized by love is the lesson, but ground everything you do in love for Christ. And our scripture is Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7. We're going to be traveling through these seven churches in Asia Minor in the book of Revelation. So this ought to be an exciting study. Sometimes people don't ever get to the book of Revelation in their studies and preaching, but we are here right now. So let me read the first portion of this text for our study, starting in verse number 1. Write to the angel of the church of Ephesus. Thus says the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil people. You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. I know that you have persevered and endured hardships for the sake of my name, and you have not grown weary. All right, so there is first, let me just say, a lot of picturesque language in this passage. So let's try to first identify some of those. And if you have your book, you can look at the key words. So Brenda, come on and talk to us about some of the key words in this passage.
All right, in verses 1 through 3, we see the seven stars, and that's representative of the angels of the seven churches. And so we would consider the angels as pastors, right? And the seven golden lampstands are the churches, the seven churches themselves.
So this idea of characterized by love. So our first point is you must be known for good works, right? So that's the first thing. So God expects each of us to be known for good works. So this is really talking about our testimony, our lifestyle, our witness before the world, before we can talk about the gospel, before we can preach the gospel, before we can share with our lips, we first share with our life. Huh? So what do you think about this portion of the scripture here, Brenda?
This was kind of convicting because I immediately thought about the times when I am not in a position where I'm in a church setting, a church atmosphere. And it made me think about how I live my life and how nice or kind I am, or how judgmental. So when I read this verse in It said, you have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. I know that you have persevered and endured hardship. I started thinking about myself, and it sounds like these churches are kind of, this church is kind of judging, right? But they're not necessarily, they're passionate about folks living the life for Christ, but it can come off as judging. So that was one of the things that stuck out to me. That, and you just talked about before we can ever speak a word to somebody, we have to testify with our lives. And so in this, especially in this day and age, we have to be careful that as we're testing and trying to see who really loves God, that we don't come off as judging.
So I can remember as a pastor calling up a tradesman at one point. We needed some work done at the church. And so we're talking about this work that needed to be done. And then at some part in the conversation, I mentioned that I was talking about the church, and so the tradesman said, oh no, church people. He said, they're the worst kind of people to work for. And I would just say that ought not be our reputation. But some church people can be mean. What do they say? There's no hurt like church hurt, right? And so, but that is not the testimony of the church at Ephesus. And that's the wonderful thing here in the book of Revelation. He says, he talks about the fact that he writes to the angel of Ephesus, the one who holds the seven stars in his hands and the seven golden lampstands. And then he says in verse number two, I know your works, your labor, your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil people. So they certainly had a passion for what was good. You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not. They had a passion for the truth, and you have found them to be liars. I know that you have persevered and endured hardships for the sake of my name and not grown weary. This is a great word for today. Because I just think that too many times there are too many church leaders, I'm going to talk about them mostly right now, who don't want to stand for the truth and the gospel, right? And they'd rather go along and get along, but that is not what the testimony of the church at Ephesus was. The church of Ephesus was that they knew who was telling the truth. They knew who was telling the lie. They did not find friendship with evil people, and they persevered. They were persecuted, endured hardship because they stood for what was true and godly and right. And so that is a great witness for us in these days. Be known for good works.
But I think it's important too for us to reiterate the fact that there is a way to be known for your good works, right? And you have to be careful to do it God's way and not your way, because your way could come off as judging. And I think that it's important to highlight the fact that that the scripture says, I know that you have persevered and endured hardships for the sake of my name and have not grown weary. Now, this is the flip side of what I just said. So we got to be careful not to be judging. But when you stand for the word of God and you stand on it flat footed without, I guess the old people would say, taking any tea for the fever, you have to understand that you will endure hardships. You will have to suffer for a little while for God's name's sake, and that's absolutely okay.
All right, so we said that we must be known for good works, but our second section here says, let love fuel good works. And so let me read the second section, verses 4-6. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Unless you repent, yet you do have this. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And so there is a great word, and it just first gets me just with this, the whole title of this section, Let Love Fuel Your Works. And it just reminds me that it's not good enough for us just to be known for good works. We also have to do those works out of a heart and passion of love for God, for his kingdom, and for the things that he seeks to accomplish. So, Brenda, there are a couple of those words in this section. So why don't you help us with these keywords?
So this phrase here that's used, remove your lampstand, that simply means that Jesus will come in and shut the whole church down. And also the reference here to the Nicolaitans, these were heretics. This group was in Asia Minor, and essentially they were evangelizing people, but they weren't evangelizing for God. They were evangelizing for whatever they wanted to do. And they were immoral and idolaters.
Yeah, so this is interesting in this passage. It just kind of says you all have been doing all the right stuff, but now your hearts are far away. And so often we can get to a place in our spiritual lives where we do stuff out of the routine, out of the expectation that somebody has, out of our culture, or for some other reason, but not out of a passionate love for God. It's interesting that this section ends up talking about the fact that they had a passionate hate for the Nicolaitans, but not a passionate love for the work of God. So I think really just kind of speaks to some of the issues of the days in which we live.
Well, and the fact that he mentions the Nicolaitans, because they were an idolatrous people, and what they were doing now was idolatry. And I think that's something that we have to think about as church leaders, you know, your pastors, your preachers, your ministry leaders. We cannot get so busy doing the work that we start idolizing the work. We can't be so busy trying to make people follow the rules of the Bible that it becomes our sole focus. And when we do that, we take our eyes off of God and we step away from the sweet fellowship that he intended for us to have. And then you find yourself just a busy church worker doing all the rule things without the relationship.
Yeah, so that's really, really important. And I think that we have a lot of that going on in the church today. You know, people who know all the right stuff to do and know all the right people to hate, but still don't love God with their own passion. So what's the remedy? The remedy is in this third section, stay focused on Christ. Let me read verse number 7. Let anyone who has ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So, wow. So it says our answer to all of this, our answer to the problem is to stay focused on Christ. So here we're getting to look at these 7 churches, and all of us and all of our churches may fall into one of these categories at times. So, and remember that our overall thought was, how can the church demonstrate love for Christ? Be known for good works, love, let love fuel your good works, but we still have to keep our focus on Christ, because if we don't keep our focus on Christ, we are bound to just do our own stuff with a whole lot of passion. And so here's a great reminder in this 7th verse. What are you thinking here, Brenda?
And it starts out saying, let anyone who has ears to hear. And so this doesn't give the lay member an excuse. This doesn't give anybody an excuse within the body of Christ. It says, let anyone who has ears to listen, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And it's a warning. It's a stark warning. Like, there's this great reward for those of you who continue in the work. you know, the works that he spoke of in the first verses. He says, I know your works, labor, and your endurance. You cannot tolerate evil people. You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not. Continue in that work with the motive of being motivated by the love of God. And when you do that, you'll be considered one of the conquerors. And your reward is to eat from the tree of life. But you can't help but think about what the opposite of that is if you don't do that.
Well, what I'm fascinated about in this church, and we're going to see in each of the other churches, is that regardless of the struggle, there's a path to victory. And so it always ends with this victorious note: to the one who conquers. There it is. This says, I can be victorious, even though I may be in the middle of this struggle. I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So it's really talking about the fact that we will be able to ultimately enjoy him in heaven forever, because the troubles of these days may not ever end. We may have to go through trouble all the days of our lives, but if we are faithful and we can be victorious, and that God has a reward for those who will stay focused on him. So this is a great lesson and a great kickoff to these seven churches that we're looking at in Asia Minor. So if you are a Bible teacher, I want you just to hold on just for a moment, because Brenda's going to give us a fantastic teaching tip. But I want you to remember that you can get all of these things and your own copy of the U Bible Study Curriculum at lifeway.com/YOU/U. It is our For Us, By Us curriculum. It now comes with a digital leaders pack, and it aligns with the Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. Okay, Brenda, give us our 1 minute teaching tip.
All right, guys. This is the type of lesson that requires some pre-work. I know you are studying very hard. You're looking at the commentaries and everything, but I challenge you to bring the pre-work to the folks. Ask them to pull out their devices. You know, they have those cell phones. Pull out the smartphones and cross-reference these particular scripture passages. Give them about 5 to 6 minutes to read over those scriptures, and then initiate a discussion on some of the background that you guys are going to discover in reading those cross-reference scriptures. For these kinds of conversations, you need some background context. And sometimes you can't get it all in as the teacher. And they get the most out of this when they have to engage the information themselves.
All right. So thank you also very much for joining us on today. This is going to be a fantastic lesson when you guys get a chance to talk about this in your classes, and a fantastic series. So don't, you know, do this lesson, but come on back, because each one in this series is going to build on the next. And this is going to be absolutely a fantastic discussion and very needful for our churches. So thank you, friends. Join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.